Have you ever tried out shoveling God? Do you think there is any way that we as a church can make a greater impact upon this world for the Lord Jesus Christ and the spread of the gospel? You know, as we look at our lives and as you look at the average American's life, just a few couple statistics I found online. An average car payment for Americans is more than $550 a month for new cars. This is just the average. So, I mean, if you're a really good shopper, you probably found it for cheaper than that, or hopefully you bought a cheaper car. That's about $6,600 per year. And for a used car, you're looking at about $400 per month for used cars. That's about $4,800 per year. And if you're shopping for it's obviously a good thing to shop around, to find the best deal, to use your money in the best way. But that's about the average, $4,800 and $6,600. The average household spends about 10 to 15% of their income on food. And there's a lot of variables in there, but that's about what it is, about 10 to 15%, the statistics show. If you shop at the food pantry, you can cut that in half. The average mortgage payment is about $1,500 per month. Now, obviously, some of you probably have got the house at just the right time, and so you're a lot less than that. But the average is $1,500 a month, which you can figure out the math of for the year. It's quite a bit, about $18,000 a year for mortgage payments, if I have my math correct. And in life, obviously, some of these are investments, some of these are just necessities of life that we have to spend money on these different things. And right now, a lot of people are looking at the stock market and are just amazed at how well it's doing. And, you know, if there is one investment and people look at the charts to see how is my stock doing or how are the stocks doing, how is my 401k doing. But you know what, there is one investment chart that you'll never have to worry about. And that is your missions investment chart. How much you invest into missions. Because no matter how much you invest into missions and giving to missions and giving for the spread of the gospel, you'll always have a bountiful return. Not only right now, but in eternity. Where are your financial investments placed? First of all, so I guess the purpose of this message is really to show that we need to be encouraged as God's people to be giving more because we serve a great and powerful God. And we need to invest financially in missions so that we can see more missionaries supported and sent out into the mission field so that we can partake in an eternal result. And I believe that our missions giving will reflect where our priorities have been placed. So as you go throughout this night and even after tonight, think about where are my priorities? Where are my investments placed? Am I investing more in this earth than more than in eternity? Where is my focus? What is it on? Is it on this earth or is it on eternal things? And a lot of times, the hindrances to investing more into missions is thinking, you know what? I don't think I can afford that. I don't think I can afford to give more to missions. It just isn't going to work. I look at my budget right now and look at my bills that are coming in, and I just about break even, some of you might say. But you know what? I believe that we serve a God that's limitless. And I believe that we serve an almighty God. So in light of giving and in light of missions giving, we can need to look at the fact, first of all, that God can be trusted. If you look at Ephesians chapter 3 in verses 20 and 21, this passage shows it very clearly how we can trust God. This is in the context of just coming off about knowing the love of God, how it passes all knowledge. And in Ephesians 3, verse 20, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know, God needs to be glorified through the church, by Christ Jesus. And God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So there are no limits to God. You know, it's exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Can he work? You know, we look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. It's another verse about how God doesn't have limits. You can't limit God. Luke 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over. Sounds like a generous portion there. And running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. You know, when we give, we will see that same thing given back to us. And it's just showing the proportionate giving here. Also, let's look at Genesis, actually Malachi 3 verse 10. Malachi 3 verse 10. This is obviously a great verse about giving. And it says in Malachi 3 verse 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Notice this is talking about bringing all the tithes into the storehouse. Bringing our offerings to God. And specifically, this is talking about the tithes. And our offerings to God must be brought to God. But you know what? When we look at this verse, we see that when we give to God, God says, prove me now herewith. If I will not pour out a blessing upon you, if I will not open the windows of heaven. You know, when we give to God, he's saying, hey, trust me, try me, prove me. See if I will pour upon you a blessing. And oftentimes it's hard for us to do that. If a good example of that is the children of Israel. You know, the children of Israel were brought to so many tests as they came out of Egypt. They were faced at the Red Sea, with the Egyptian army behind them and the Red Sea before them, and they were trapped, so it looked like. And they said, why did you take us out into a desert to die here, Moses? And they didn't look to God. They looked horizontally instead of vertically. And time and time again, you see Israel not trusting God, not willing to say, you know, I can trust God. I don't need to look at the situations around me. I can trust God. And God wants us to trust him. And he wants us to trust him in our finances. As we look at another passage, Genesis 49, verses 22 through 26, this passage just shows how we can trust God, and God is the Almighty God. Genesis 49, verses 22 and 26 through 26. Genesis 49, verses 22 to 26. This is Jacob's blessing upon Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the mighty hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with the blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast, and blessings of and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. We see Joseph here was blessed unto the by the Almighty, And he was blessed above the blessings of my progenitors, it says here, unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. You know, Joseph was given an everlasting blessing because he trusted God. And the same can be true with us tonight if we trust God. That's really my second point. We must trust God. So God can be trusted, number one. Number two, we must trust God. You know, when we, every person here tonight needs to trust Christ for salvation. And most of us, I hope, have. But you know, there may be some tonight that still have not yet trusted Christ as their Savior. You know, we must trust God 100% for salvation. You know, a person cannot be saved unless they completely trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And we find over and over in the Bible that the same is true in our daily Christian life. We must trust God. We see in Hebrews 12, verse 1, that we must look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We see in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We see in John 15, verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And in this decision of giving, we need to realize that this shouldn't be a decision that we're looking to ourselves for. It ought to be a decision that we're looking to God for and getting God's will and God's mind on this matter. Especially in the regards to missions giving, as that's the focus tonight. Colossians 2 verse 6 says, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You know, we have received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. You know, now we daily need to walk by faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every step we take must be a step of faith. We see Philippians 4:19, which I will turn there and read that verse. Philippians 4:19, Paul, speaking to the Philippian church, he says, in the context of giving, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, when we give, we don't have to worry about anything because God will reward us according to his riches in glory. He's going to supply our needs. He's going to supply our needs, but we just must trust him. Think of the widow of Zarephath. And with the prophet Elijah, he came to this widow and said, please feed me. And she said, all right, I have a little bit of oil, a little bit of meal here. I'll make a loaf of bread, and my son and I were just going to eat this, and we're going to die, I think she said. And Elijah said, feed me first. You know, she had to put the prophet of God, before her own family. It was a step of faith she had to take. You know what? When she obeyed God and God provided abundantly for her through the drought, through the famine. And we need to realize that sometimes our giving is what God is going to use to get us through hard times, to get us through trials. We can look at also Matthew 9, verse 29. I believe this is the story of the two blind men. And they came to Jesus. And it says, in the account in Matthew here, it says in verse 27, starting there at the beginning of the story, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they had departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. We see here an example of two men who came to Jesus, and they said, yes, Jesus, we believe that you can heal us. And he said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Do you believe that God can provide for you if you give sacrificially to missions? According to your faith, be it unto you. In our missions, we must trust God. Point number three, in our missions giving, we must trust God. know, the church's commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we must begin at Jerusalem, the Bible says. Beginning at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. You can look at the Great Commission as something geographic from that verse. You know what? Reaching Maquonago, reaching Wisconsin, reaching the United States, and reaching the world. That is our commission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But you know what? Each one of us can't do that personally. That is why God gave this command to the church. And we see a great example in the Apostle Paul of someone who was sent out of a church and who went and preached the gospel. You know, the Apostle Paul didn't just go on his own accord. He was sent out of a church, but he was also supported by many other churches in his missionary endeavors. When we think about the need in the world, do you realize that in Asia, there's 4.6 billion people? You know, our church has zero missionaries in Asia, as far as I can know and remember. You know, Europe is home to about 741.4 million people, which we have a number of missionaries there. Africa is home to over 1.26 billion people. South America is home to over 422.5 million people. We have zero missionaries in South America, forgive me. North America has over 579 million people. Australia has around 40 million people. Antarctica, well, has a few thousand scientists there. Which they definitely, I'm sure they need the gospel too, because they probably don't believe in God. Probably believe in climatology or whatever. You know, so we see that our commission is to go and reach the world, and we must financially support missionaries around the world. Obviously, prayer support is a huge, vital thing that we need to be praying each and every day for our missionaries. Obviously, you could pray through the whole list, which would be great if you could do that. But you know what? Even if you can just focus on 3 missionaries a day, every day, just praying for 3 missionaries faithfully is a huge, vital way that we need to support them. But we also must support missionaries financially. And as was stated, Paul was sent out of the church in Antioch, and that was a great missions-minded church. There may have been up to 100,000 Christians out of that region. The church in Antioch obviously sent out a lot of missionaries. We see a couple different examples of Paul depending upon the mission support of other churches in the Bible. First of all, we can look at the book of Philippians, which you might be there. Philippians 4, and we'll look at a few of these verses. We won't read them all here, but Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12. And the Apostle Paul here is talking about the gifts the Philippians gave him. And this is Paul's personal testimony. I know both how to be abased, verse 12, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul realized that as a missionary, he might suffer some. He obviously knew that firsthand, how much he suffered. But you know, he knew that he can do all things through Christ, who strengtheneth him. He was trusting in God. But notice verse 14, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, the church providing for Paul's needs and his team there. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable. That's what that offering was to Paul, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable. And notice, it was well-pleasing to God. In the sight of God, this gift to Paul was well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul here is communicating to the church in Philippi, and he's thanking them, you know, your gift met my need. Your continued giving met my need. You know what? As you gave to me, you know, I promise you, he's obviously inspired when he wrote this, my God shall supply all your need. And we must give for the spread of the gospel. We also see another example of Paul appealing to the church in Rome. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, Romans 15 and verse 24, Paul is saying, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go to unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. So he's going to Jerusalem, and then you see later on in the passage, it says, when therefore in verse 28, when therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. And it says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. He's not only asking for their prayers, but I believe he was also asking for them to send him on his way to Spain, to provide financially for his journey, to go spread the gospel into Spain. And now, this is a church that he had really, I don't think he had any connection to necessarily. I don't think he didn't plant the church there, but he was appealing to them for the spread of the gospel through financial support. And I think the same call is given to us today. You know, we must provide financially for those that are seeking to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. Is there anything that you can do? Is there anything more that you can do? You know, when we had our missions conference and we filled out those faith promised cards, how seriously did we take those? You know, and I was challenged with an amount to put down. I'm like, that's just kind of a lot. I don't think I can do that. But, you know, I was looking at the circumstances around me. I wasn't looking to God and his great blessing that he has blessed us with. You know what? Our country, the last few years, has been abundantly blessed by God. You know what? We ought to be thankful for that. But you know, we ought to take a step of faith. If we want to see more missionaries supported, then we need to take that step of faith to see more missionaries supported. I just had done, back in the missions conference, I think it was around that time, I just did some math. And saying, you know what? If we gave this much, this is how much could be given. And I want to challenge you. Some of you might laugh at this, but don't laugh. I mean, obviously I'm not God saying this, but don't laugh necessarily at these numbers. Obviously Sarah laughed at God and I'm not God, but don't be like Sarah who just laughs as the first reaction. But think about it. Let it challenge you. Maybe you can, ponder these numbers and say, you know what? Maybe I could give more. Maybe I could give 500 more. Maybe I could give 1,000 more in my missions giving. If 20 children giving an average of 20 cents per week, if they do that, 20 cents per week, 20 children, and I think we have more than 20 children here, that would be $208 in a year. If we had 10 teens giving an average of $1 per week, that would be $520 per year. If we had 10 adults giving $10 a week, each adult, that would be $500 per year per adult. About $500. Well, if they gave 10 adults, gave $500 per year, it would basically be about $5,000. If we had 10 adults, that would give $1,000 per year. That would be $10,000. If we had 20 adults that gave $1,500 per year, That would be $30,000 in a year for that group. If 10 adults gave $2,500 per year, that would be $25,000. If 5 adults gave $3,000 per year, that would be $15,000 per year for missions for that group. If 5 adults each gave $4,000 per year, that would be $20,000. That would be about $77 per week. If 5 adults gave $4,500 per year, that would be about $22,500. That would be about $86 per year. And I'm sure there's some people that give probably more than that, $4,500 a year. I don't know. I didn't talk to Mr. Griffin. But I'm sure that there's more, that there's adults that probably give more than $4,500 a year. But now if you add all these totals up, that would be $128,000, $228 for a whole year. Right now we're at about $86,000 per year. If you took a step of faith and we did something like this, I'm not necessarily asking you to do this, but if you took a step of faith and you say, no, right now I'm giving $1,500 a year, maybe I'll give $2,000. Or right now I'm giving $1,000. You know what? Maybe God wants me to give $1,500. Take that step of faith. Give an eternal investment for the cause of Jesus Christ and the spread of the gospel. If we did give this amount each year, you know, this is, let's see here. I had the total here, I think. But that would be 20, 40, 50, 65 adults giving this amount. Obviously, then there'd be 20 children, 10 teens. Mr. Griffin, I think, in the meeting said we had 96 separate people giving to the church last year. So that's 65. The number is 65. We'd have about, if we did this, if let's say we gave $128,000 per year, we would be able to support 7 more missionaries each month at $500 per month. That might seem like a lot, and that is a lot more than what we currently are giving. You know, I believe if we step out in faith and we say, you know what, I can give more. I can trust God. I believe we can see some of these missionaries that have come to our church asking for support. I believe we can fulfill our obligation. Obviously, not every single missionary we can support. But you know, I believe that we could take on some new missionaries. If we were to trust God, you know, God can be trusted. We must trust God. And for the cause of missions, we need to trust God with our finances. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to bring forth your word, and I pray that we would, as a church, go forward in faith and trust you for our missions giving. I pray that you would stir our hearts to take a step of faith and to trust you to give more than what we are currently giving. And I pray that you would just lead each one of us to make that step of faith, whatever that might be. Work in each heart, Lord. We know this has to be a work of God. And I pray that you would just stir our hearts for what you can do through us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Facing a society of instability. We're even having Christian homes that are facing instability because they're not doing things according to the wisdom and the knowledge that's found in the Word of God. You know, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. You know, how are you raising your family tonight? How do you determine what you do? Are you basing it on the truth of God's word? That's how you're going to have a stable family. You know, stability is when your kids come home and they know the decisions that are going to be made. You know, I guess consistency would be another, maybe a synonym, so to speak, for stability. But there's endurance there. What are you basing your ideas on? Are you following the counterfeits that abound? You want a stable life? You know, sing like the hymn, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. That will produce a stable life. You know, but the problem is we have our own ideas. We have our own plans. We think that we can create a better environment for us than God can. But he is the one that is wisdom. Oh, the depth both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So we must recognize the counterfeits that are out there. We must be careful that we guard ourselves. But then also, the fourth truth we must realize is we must realize the atmosphere of stability. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 33. It says, in wisdom and knowledge, Isaiah 33 verse 6, in wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. Then notice his last phrase, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. You know, it said back in the other Isaiah chapter 29, it says that their fear of me is taught by the what? The precepts of men. What does it say in Proverbs 1:7? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 talks about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. You know, there's an atmosphere that this wisdom and this knowledge is learned in, and that is in the atmosphere of the fear of the Lord, this proper sense of the awe and the greatness of God. You know, that's missing in many churches today. It's missing in many homes today. And they're never able to arrive at real wisdom and knowledge because they're missing the atmosphere that it can be learned in. But also there's the atmosphere of humility in Proverbs chapter 11. It says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. You know, it's really easy to react when somebody gives us advice about something and maybe we're doing the opposite. You know, it's easy, the first thing we want to do is maybe resist it. To think, hey, I'm okay, you know, what's that person think they're going to do and, you know, tell me about this. But the Bible says, with the lowly is wisdom. You know, pride, that resistance, that wall that we automatically set up is not the environment in which will bring about stability that is needed in our lives. It says in Proverbs 13 verse 10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Those that have the humility to talk things through, to get the wisdom that they need instead of just reacting and having contention, are the ones that are going to have that atmosphere that is going to create the ability to learn true wisdom and knowledge. Then if you can go over to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24 and verse number 3 says, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. You know, do you want that stable home tonight? It says, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. You know, how are you doing tonight on building your home? How are you doing tonight on building your life? You know, we have the illustration in Matthew that Christ gave about the wise man who had a stable life that was able to withstand the storms. And you had the foolish man who built his house on the sand. The one built his house upon the words of Christ and lived in obedience to him, and he stood the test of time. The other one, when the storms of life came, his house was swept away. You know, what's going to be your life tonight? Is your life mirroring the stability that's going to come when Christ will rule and reign? When he will have all knowledge? You know, somebody's not going to be able to say, well, I didn't do that. You know, Christ is going to know exactly. He's going to have perfect knowledge of every situation. He's going to have perfect wisdom to make the right decision in every situation that is faced. You know, don't you wish we had that in our government today? But you know what? As believers, we can tap into that perfect knowledge and wisdom of Christ and can bring it into our homes and can model that stability that can only be found in Christ. You know, I wonder, is that taking place? Are there other influences that are making their way into our lives and are having a greater impact upon the direction of our lives than upon the riches of the wisdom and knowledge that are found in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You know, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, each day we have an opportunity to start our day off in a stable way. You know, so that when we face those storms of life, we have the wisdom and the knowledge of Christ to lean on so that we don't fall into the same trap of the decaying world in which we lived. Now, the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You know, maybe tonight you need to just reflect in your own life and say, am I laboring in vain? Or am I making decisions based upon the wisdom and knowledge that can only be found in God's word that's going to bring lasting stability and endurance in the troubled times in which we live? Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would help us to place, Lord, the importance on wisdom and knowledge that you would have us to place on it. And Lord, as we look forward to the future of when Christ is ruling and reigning, may we realize that he ought to be ruling and reigning in our own lives right now. And Lord, that future joy, the future stability that will take place, Lord, as we allow you to reign and rule right now in our own lives, Lord, we can experience in some measure. And Lord, I pray tonight that your Spirit might work in our hearts and help us to see areas, Lord, that we have allowed ourselves to be influenced by the world around us in which we live. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts tonight. And Lord, that we would stand back and ask ourselves, what is influencing us tonight? I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, you know, if you had to take a measure of the stability of your life, of the stability of your home, you know, where would you have to put that, where would the scale be? Maybe on a scale of 1 to 10. You know, if it isn't what it ought to be, why is that? You know, is it because we've allowed ourselves to let our guard down? And we haven't been, you know, as it says, to beware. And we've let the world come into our home. We've let those philosophies to come in. Maybe we've been listening to people. Maybe we've been listening to programs. Maybe we've been reading things. Or maybe, you know, tonight it's because we haven't been doing the positive of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And maybe it's, you know, we recognize tonight, boy, there is a change that needs to take place in my life so that that next generation can have that stability that they need to go forward. And you say, you know, Pastor John, the Lord has spoken to my heart tonight, and I want to see the Lord take control in that area of my life tonight. Is there anything like that tonight? The Lord's worked in your life? All right, is there anybody else tonight? All right, and I wonder tonight, you know, maybe your issue is salvation and experiencing that relationship that brings about real stability in your life. You say, you know, Pastor John, my need tonight is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Is there anyone here tonight that recognizes their need of salvation? All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, we just pray that you would work and, Lord, be with those that you've spoken to their hearts and just give them, Lord, that grace that is needed to persevere forward and to see you work and to bring that stability that only you can give. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
In addition to the school wing, would probably have a basement. The rest would not. We discussed the fact that perhaps there could be stage one of this project where the addition to the school wing is made with a basement and that banquet hall that was almost too small for the veterans banquet would be added to, and that need would be helped for till the time that the other part of the project could be done. All this is just conceptual, okay? But we're voting on setting a goal to go forward. That's what we're voting on. All the details can be, there aren't really any specific details except those concepts. Okay? Any other questions? We have motion. We have a second. How many would vote in favor of going forward with this goal and concept? All in favor, say aye or raise your right hand. Opposed. Anyway, okay. Another thing that we need to get preliminary approval on is a few weeks ago we talked about the possibility of a retirement housing, staff housing, and we have been investigating that, and we we have a person interested. We actually need more interest, but in order to go forward, we need to present that to the church that there are some funds available that would provide towards a duplex that would later on be used by the church. It would be owned by the church from the beginning. But later on, it would be used by church staff. In the meantime, it would be retirement housing. The present discussion is that it would be a duplex near the opposite of the present duplex on the Mission House property. Okay? It may go nowhere, but we need church approval to be able to do some further investigating and advancement, and we'll have to come back to you again. But just so we have your approval to start working on the possibilities of this. Okay? Mr. Griffin makes the motion. Second. Mr. Apple. Okay. All right. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye. Or raise your right hand. All opposed, say nay, or raise your left. All right. That helps us to make some, go to the next step, which is the budget for the new year. And we've already talked about it a little bit. You can put that budget sheet up, please. There we go. So in the new budget, we are proposing these changes. Adding $15,000 in the general fund budget, making that $300,000, approximately $600 a week. Decreasing the equipment fund, the new repair fund, increasing the maintenance fund. And that maintenance fund that comes for the contract for the elevator, the contract for the fire alarm system, the repairs to elevator, copy machine contract, all the things that maintain this building. But just so you know, we don't have a limitless pocket. You know, this is kind of fun, but Mr. Myers comes to me and a few years ago and he says, Pastor, they say we got to have these elephant vacuum cleaners. They're just the thing. And so I said, okay.
No. That came from Buda. They're the ones that...
Well, whoever it was.
It wasn't me.
Okay. Okay. And so, okay, we'll go buy them. So we buy them. And Mr. Myers comes to me, people won't use them. They're sitting in the closet. We need to buy some more, different ones. You know, this isn't a bottomless pit here, folks. You know, if you want to buy a new vacuum cleaner, just go buy one. You know, give it to the church. But just because, you know, it's a little bit inconvenient, it's not like we're not Democrats, you know what I mean? We got to hold down the spending a little bit. But Mr. Myers is always very generous, you know. You know, he fixes those things all the time. We'd have to be buying back.
I got people in the wings like Rick Johnson that help me out sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, there's people that...
Yeah, otherwise we'd buy vacuum cleaners every month, wouldn't we? Probably. Okay, but a lot of people do a lot of hard work around here, and I'm not trying to minimize that. Thank you for your work. Okay, so, but this is the budget we're proposing, and it's... our present, this year, our budget with the increase, you know, good giving was $7,100, and this is, you know, $7,286. It doesn't seem like a big step of faith, but it still will be. It still will be a step of faith. And maybe we would have said, should have had a bigger step, because God doesn't have to have provide if we don't have any faith, you know what I mean? There's no need to be praying for the Lord provide if he's already, if our you know, our faith is small. So, but we still need to vote on it. So I'm going to make that motion. This is the budget. Rich. Micah seconds it. Sounds like an auction. Any questions? All in favor, signify by saying aye, or raise your right hand.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay, or your left. Let's go to the missions report. And you see some changes here on the missions. And I'll explain each one of them. Originally, we were going to take on the Betrells for a year. They thought they would be self-supporting 1 year. That didn't happen. But we are going to reduce that $100. The mission trip fund is well funded. We're going to reduce that by $66. Michael Raines, last year we increased his support by $250 until he could get back home, raise some new support. And so 170 of that increased support we're still leaving there for now. So we're reducing that by 80. Nathan went to the field with support level of 3 children. His 5th is on the way, and he's taking care of 5 orphans, and he isn't able to come back, so we feel like we need to do something for him. The Schumacher, Mr. Schumacher, has retired from missions. The Webbers have been in Shawano doing a great job, maybe 5 years, and that's usually kind of the time that new church home missions gets reduced some. The Wescos, unfortunately, Mr. Wesco passed away. They are no longer in church planting. They are in kind of a counseling ministry. And our philosophy of missions is church planting. And we're not going to completely take off their support. They're getting new support. But that is the reason for that. And all of those changes will be geared towards new church work. There's a couple of big possibilities of this year. But it only increases our missions budget by $54. This is the right page. The other page is whatever, okay? This says the official John Henry on it, okay? This is the one we're going by, okay? So, isn't too much of faith, but there's some things that we know that will make this a faith budget pretty soon. So, that's what we're presenting. Someone want to make that motion for the missions budget? Philip makes a motion. Second somewhere. Okay. Tyler, any discussion? All in favor, signify. Yes, George.
Whatever happens to like all these missionaries that come here looking for support throughout the year to, you know, present and we don't, do we hear anything more after the one night or whatever that they come through?
Well, they're there, you know. This is what we're presenting because we're gearing it towards missionaries sent right from this church right now. We have that first responsibility. Yes. Right. Yes, missionary, yeah. If they don't send us one, we don't even know what they're doing. Okay. We have a motion second? Okay, all in favor, signify by saying aye or raise your right hand.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Now we have 2 missionaries that that are sent out by our church that as well all their finances go through our church. We are their mission board. And we take care of their funds. We take care of their income. We take care of their taxes. And as they're sending church mission board, we need to deal with a vital tax item, which is their housing allowance. This has to be voted on by the church every year. It isn't money. It isn't additional monies that they get. It's just a designation of the monies that they do get, okay, that helps them to be stewards of the funds that they receive. As missionaries, they get a tax-deductible housing allowance that is declared by their home church that has to be backed up by the missionaries by legitimate expenses. So it isn't something out of the sky. They have to provide the legitimacy of this, but we have to vote on it. And so proposing that the housing allowance for the Nathan Roberts of $2,500 a month and the Stephen Range family of $1,800 a month designated as housing allowance. Tyler makes the motion, second by Mr. Griffin. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Or raise your right hand. Opposed, say nay, or your left hand. Okay. At this point, I'm not sure. Hopefully we have that. We have two nominations for the office of deacon that we have. And we take a motion, take a vote, ballot vote on these two nominations. Yes? Did I miss something? Oh, I'm sorry. We did miss something. Okay. We didn't increase the budget, but we have to get a report from the Pastoral Care Committee. Okay? Sorry, Mr. Griffin. Turn it upside down.
Is this thing live?
Yeah.
Pastoral Care Committee met this year, and we have some recommendations. It would be on this sheet that has the what is that? Yeah. Reading of the minutes, financial report. Page 2, middle of the thing, new budget. Pastoral Care Committee recommendations this year. This first one, letter A, is a little bit of a surprise to some of you, maybe, I don't know, but we're proposing that we pay Micah Roberts $100 a week. Micah is going to have the function of trying to reach out into our community. Pastor, you want to say a little more about that?
I would call him, I got one. Community Integration Director, if you want to give him a big title. But to make a simple story, we don't want to simply be the church on the hill. We want to be a church that the people are involved in the community, like the sermon, you know, salt meeting flesh. And we need to have, I feel like Micah has that vision. He's been the force behind the Veterans Banquet. He has a job in the community driving bus for the sole purpose of being a part of the community. He is in the bus ministry. All his work has been volunteer work. He would keep on doing all of it just because. But I think there's a time that you get him on staff and you pay him almost nothing, and then he won't, then he'll have to stay here.
I knew there was a method in your madness. So we're proposing this, that we add a line item for Micah Roberts at $100. Is that weekly or monthly?
A week.
A week, okay. $100 weekly. We want to increase Pastor John's salary by $25 a week and increase Philip Raines's salary by $25 a week for a total there of $7,800.
Which is under the present budget.
Right, present budget. Do I hear a motion to do that? Zach makes the motion, and who's that back there?
Thomas.
Thomas, oh, yeah, doubting Thomas, yes. Thomas is back there saying, seconding it. Any discussion at this point? Yes, sir, Jim. Has Micah what? Last I heard, just after the message this morning, I heard by way of his father that yes. Am I wrong, Micah?
He said yes.
Yes. You said yes? Okay, Mike has agreed. Any other questions?
So I'm not the last. So if Mike is out driving bus and working in the community, does he lose the pay? I don't mean to be a stick, but I'm just kind of wondering.
I don't have an answer to that one.
He's not just stopping driving the bus.
He's not going to stop driving the bus. Okay.
He's not going to stop having Veterans Banquet.
Okay. Next question. Any other questions? All in favor, signify by saying aye or raise your right hand.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay or raise your left hand. Motion carried.
There you go.
Okay, sorry. That was very important. Okay, so we have the vote, the ballots already out. Okay, and so you can either it's vote present or vote yes or vote no. Okay? You have three choices, whatever you want. Okay, on your sheet, while those are being collected in lieu of the fact that we are going to, on the basis of assuming that this is a yes vote, we would like to present to the church the appointment of officers and committee members as listed on your program. And that officers, these are state officers, the state requires this. These aren't necessarily biblical officers, but these are financial officers the state requires. And Ron Roberts, president, Michael Narlock, vice president, Michael Narlock, treasurer, Nancy Rand, clerk, Al Griffin, financial secretary, assistant treasurer. Cemetery Committee, Jim Apple, George Golzinski, Jake Kukta, Aaron Golzinski, Al Griffin, pastors and deacons. Building and Planning Committee, Marty Barnhill, Al Griffin, Aaron Golzinski, George Golzinski, Rick Johnson. Oops. Jim Apple is supposed to be on there. Yeah. And Membership Committee, Al Griffin, Thomas Ross, Pastor Jonathan Roberts, and the deacons. Pastoral Care Committee, Al Griffin, deacons, and Pastor Roberts. School Discipline Committee, Heath Hanning, Aaron Golzinski, Al Griffin, Philip Raines, Pastor Jonathan Roberts. Okay. Oh, I was wondering what you were doing. I get to vote too, huh? All right. So we have motion to that extent. Jim Apple, second. Philip Raines. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Or raise your right hand, sorry. Opposed, say nay, or raise your left. We have five membership updates. Those who have not been attending, a letter from Rachel. Asking to be removed. And, of course, Jacqueline has moved and gone to Falls Baptist Church. So we're presenting membership of Sarah Kukta, Lydia Ika, Emily Ika, Rachel Ika, and Jacqueline Woodrow. Sarah Kukta. That's five.
Can you repeat that?
Emily Ika, Rachel Ika, Lydia Ika, Sarah Kukta, and Jacqueline Woodrow. No longer attending. We have an active membership, which is very vital to our church. I have those that I haven't, other than Rachel, who did write me, we contacted them, said we would be glad to have them. Be members, function as members, if they would decide to do so. But if not, we would deal with their membership. And we made it clear, you know, we love you. We wish God's best for you. But this is active church membership here. Okay. Motion to that extent. Greg Myers. Second. Aaron Golzinski. All in favor, signify by aye or raising your right hand.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay or your left hand. Motion carried. We'll have vote for deacons presented to us in a few minutes here. Other than that, we'll be waiting for that, okay? I think we covered all our business we're supposed to cover today. Who wants to give a testimony about the blessing of this, what the Lord did this last year? Year in review. Okay, this is one thing we've got to talk about. One of our goals for the new year is, I don't know what we would call this, a new media ministry. Okay? And I will tell you how it came about in my mind is that many people who get saved they're always looking for Christian things. And many of our new converts will turn on VCY. Most of the internet, most of the namesake preachers on there are new evangelical. There's very little on there about missions, the Great Commission. There's very little solid stuff. The music many times is marginal. And I thought, you know what? We need to have something where, you know, people can go to and get solid food for their soul. And it kind of started off with, well, what do we do? Where do we start? You know, can we have a radio station? Can we have an internet station? Those are all possibilities. It may well be that we will start with expanded what we call podcasts, where you have an app, and on that app is the address, Quantico Baptist, Fundamental Baptist Ministries. And on that, there will be podcasts that you can listen to, like let's say the call to missions, or the need for missionaries, or what about the missionary call, or what's happening on the mission field. Maybe there would be things on there that would include past sermons that are timely that people need to listen to. It could be doctrinal presentations, like a class on the New Testament church versus what is the New Testament church versus the false teaching on the universal church. It could be material on how to lead a soul to Christ. We were just talking about methods, how you can have an interview with, for instance, a Jehovah Witness that came to the Lord, and how they saw the light, and what was how you were able to reach them, etc. But what I would call some meat that people can tune into and connect with. It's just kind of the, I'm not the tech guy, but other people are going to help with that. And there's lots of things that could be done. But we're going to begin to work on developing a media ministry that you could say to your friend, hey, go on this site and you can listen to this podcast on how to be saved, or what is the local church, or et cetera. Okay? very elementary, but we're starting. Okay, we have Heath Henning, 62 yes, 2 no. Mike Narlock, 61 yes, 6 no. Both have passed the election. Okay? All right. Any questions on what we said about the media ministry, or any thoughts quickly? Yes. The new generation, right? Right. What do you have an app that you go to?
Well, if you have an Apple phone, an iPhone, they have a podcast icon built into it. So you can do searches. So you can just hit that button, and you can search independent, fundamental, Baptist, or whatever topic is, and it's already built into the phone. So you don't even need to have the app. It already comes installed on the phone. So just a matter of getting it. You may have to pay some fees as far as publishing it on those podcasts. Once you get it out there, if church members listen to it, the more listeners you have, then it kind of increases on the search list and becomes what comes up when you search for those things. It'll move to the top. So it's important that other people support it to get others to see it when they search.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, that's what it's good to hear, that this is part reaching a new generation. How are we going to do that? And they're into listening. and so that's a big focus, that possibility range of what we could do. Okay, we'll take a motion at this time to adjourn the meeting. Mr. Apple and Mr. Myers, thank you for coming through. Okay, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Raise your right hand.
Aye.
Or opposed, raise your left. Motion carried. And great to have Mrs. Wright here. Welcome her. Okay, you are dismissed.